Welcome in, everyone. Ted here, John here, and you know what, John? I'm mad, man. I'm upset. I'm furious. The team is doing well. Our show is just not going to survive. We need, you know, if I'm to believe certain people, we just need the show to need the team to be bad. We don't want the team to have success. We don't want any happiness because we feed off of it. We feed off that negative energy. So I'm upset, furious.
I was hoping we were going to cancel this week, actually.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about how good the team is. I don't.
After they equalized, I was like, I don't ever want to do this show again.
It's like, darn, ruined our plan. I had a whole outline written about how awful the team is, how terrible everything is.
In the trash.
I just throw it in the trash. Anyway, folks, hey, how you doing? Yeah. In case you couldn't tell, that was sarcasm, in case you couldn't tell. Ted here, John here, talking DC United. Hopefully a more positive, uplifting show for the second week in a row. This is crazy. John, how you doing, my friend? How was your weekend? I see you're currently in your hotel room, traveling around the United States. So,
today I'm in Lansing, Michigan, a city for certain. It cannot be denied that it is in fact a city. I just got in a little bit ago, and we said we had to do this show for the people. But this weekend, I feel like we had some good soccer and some good weather. Just things are all unfolding as they should here in Virginia right now in early March.
I feel like we should play a game where we like pick a random DC United player and we have to do 6 degrees of whatever city you're in and figure out a way to connect that player to that city. I feel like that could be some.
There's got to be like a defunct USL side from Lansing.
Exactly. There is actually Lansing Ignite.
There we go.
Played it a baseball field for like a year. And then the owner was like, wait a minute, I'm not making any money. I'm out. So
the field is right across the street from my hotel.
And it was an awful field. There was like patches of dirt coming up. It was terrible. Yeah, they were there for like a season. Wasn't fun. But yeah, I'm doing good. I got back out onto the referee field on Thursday. Did a high school game that was pretty calm. And then I settled in for the weekend. Did some wife just finished up the bar exam, so we went around and actually got to do stuff. She wasn't just locked in her room and studying. So that's a good.
You visited Fredericksburg too, right?
I did. Yes.
You saw my area, the home of
Jackson Hopkins. Exactly. We're going to talk about him coming up, and you recommended a really nice Japanese restaurant for me. So kudos to you. Kudos to you on that one. Unfortunately, we couldn't link up, but I'm sure we'll be around in the area sometime soon, and we can actually catch up. All right, that's enough of that. I hear we talk about too long. So, by the way, this has been 3 minutes of catch up and
that is on petty patrol.
I am on
right
petty
now.
Patrol because people talk about too much. Let's talk DC United. DC United getting a excellent, pretty good, I'd say, 2-2 draw against the Portland Timbers. A game that I don't know if you heard on you listened to Roach's little blurb, and I of course did the watch along, so my notes I'm kind of going from my memory. I'm trying to run a stream and everything like that, but I mean overall the game started out and I kind of wondered, okay, this is a game on the road, not at home, and obviously we got the big news that Benteke was replaced due to a scratch. So
I think I tweeted out disaster when they announced that. I'm not sure. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was. But, also I was like, oh, that really stinks. I think that kind of tempers my expectations for this game about what this team can do. I mean, this team is very much still built around, his ability to, win the ball in the air, bring it down, lay it off for other players to run onto. But at the same token, I'm like, hey, this gives an opportunity for guys to step up, to show that they want to be out there on this field, and also maybe we can develop something a little bit better. It didn't start out great, but I think they were still trying to use the strategy, acting like Benteke was there. But to their credit, they still generated a few chances. I guess let's kind of go, because this game was sort of definitely played in two halves. Give me start with your overall thoughts on kind of the first half, how you were feeling, anything that stood out to you in that first part of the game.
I feel like because the first goal was sort of fluky, and we could talk about, and I don't say fluky, but it was an individual breakdown. They weren't being played off the field. It's so challenging early on in the MLS season to understand what's going on, like who is a fraud, who's real. And, we came off of our 3-1 victory in New England. They came off of a 4-1 beating of Colorado at home. So it was really sort of undecided who, who was going to show up, who's the real team. And, you know, getting the news about Benteke was very upsetting to me because I thought, all right, well, with this team, with the full 11, with Benteke up there, they have a chance to get a draw. that was my mindset going in. And then when you took that away, I was like, well, we have been talking about the fact they don't have secondary scoring. So now we can't. That's not good. They're going to let in a bunch of goals. And in the first half, I feel like they did not, to your point, I think they stuck with what they were planning on doing. There were a lot of passes back from the center backs, crossing lines, trying to get to the forwards, who is not Christian Benteke and is not going to win every ball in the air. Christian Dahomey did his best at certain occasions to do that, but it is not his game. I am sorry, I was familiar with your game, Christian Dahomey, and it is not back to the goal forward. That's not your thing. But, you know, overall, I wasn't concerned. I wasn't thinking that this team is going to get slaughtered 4-0 as the half continued. Aaron Herrera from the start to the finish was super involved, was all that you could have hoped he was going to be when they acquired him. He was basically what I think his best days at RSL looked like. That's what he brought to the club, and, you know, perfect timing from that perspective. But what, you know, without getting into individual performances and the error that caused the first goal, what, you know, similarly, did you feel like, as you saw this half sort of unfold, were you feeling, as you were talking about it as it was happening, were you down? Were you feeling like, all right, well, 1-0 and a half is okay?
Yeah, I think I was kind of in the same boat you did. You know, you could see this team still pressing. They were still playing their center backs really high. I think we generated, I think sort of the first, I'd say about 35 minutes of the game, I'd say, I think I was kind of tracking a little bit of the XG and who was generating the chances. And you know, Portland had the chances. They set up sort of how I'd expected. I had sort of watched their game against Colorado. I knew they were going to be a team that was going to kind of want to sit back, and they were going to try to hit DC on the counter. And they did. First, the goal pretty much comes, I think, from an attacking play. You know, Pedro Santos is pushed up a little too high. He sort of commits to a tackle, misses, and, you know, that it's kind of DC the other way. Christopher McVay, Lucas Bartlett, I think, should have maybe done a better job of you know, presenting. They kind of were more concerned about what position they were in than actually crashing to the ball or trying to intercept the pass. And it fell right to Asprilla, who puts it in the back of the net. But overall, you know, like you, I kind of went into this. I said, okay, like, you know, this team is they're playing their game, they're pressing, they're having some chances, and they're being effective. There was a, you know, Jared Stroud played an excellent ball over to Dahomey off a header, and he managed to get it on frame, does everything, and it's a good save by Kerpo, who's still a really, really good goalkeeper.
He played his ass off that game, and that he kept them. You know, Alex Bono, I think, had one save. But Kerpo kept them from losing by a couple goals.
I mean, really. And it sort of reflected, I think, sort of as the game went on in the second half. I think what we are seeing is we're seeing the youth of this team really sort of play a role, and you know, and we'll get into more into the second half a little bit. But I think, you know, this team feels like more spry and younger, even though they still have a lot of older pieces out there. I will say, with how much this team, how much McVay and Bartlett both pressure, you know, from the center back position, and really keeping that field short, and keeping, you know, the team sort of pressed in, they're going to get beat. And we saw them, they're going to get beat on a couple times on this. And I think it's going to be up to them to really, you know, maximize that XG. We can generate all the XG we want. We need to put our chances away. And this team has done an excellent job of creating chances so far, which has been excellent, excellent to see. And they will convert. So they will convert some of them. You certainly want to go into games, you know, knowing that you're going to create and give yourself some good chances. But, you know, I think this team will still get, you know, caught on the break. But I think it's still going to be really hard for a guy like Birnbaum really step in? Does he really fit into this lineup once he's healthy? We're still several weeks off from that. But, you know, I think that's certainly something, certainly something to watch as he starts to get healthier.
I think that let's just talk about the flow of the game, and then we'll get into the performances, I feel like. So first half, we get to the break 1-0 down. I think I was feeling generally okay with that. Thought that we weren't generating enough chances, and it was still sort of feeling down about the fact that we didn't have our best weapon available. Second half starts, I would say, more of the same. DC United, if you look at the XG chart, United was actually substantially more dangerous throughout the whole game. They ended up with a 2 XG, and Toronto had a 0.8. So we'll talk about the goal. Ted Cudipietro gets sort of, I don't know, say karate chopped, but there was a hand on his face. He fell. Easily could have been a foul. You see it called week in, week out, sort of off the ball. And, you know, Dahomey does not track a runner. He doesn't see a guy behind his back, which I can't blame him for. He does. He's unable to have 360 vision. And the back end is exposed, and Alex Bono is beat, and they're up 2-0. And at that point, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
I think it was disappointing because you saw them still generate some chances. You saw – I thought Ted Cudipietro, okay, first half. I thought he really picked it up in the second half. He started to look much more dangerous. He was, you know, winning the ball. We'll get to his big miss, but his big miss comes from, you know, a chance he generates, basically, from dribbling in from midfield. And I didn't really pick that up. I didn't really pick that up on the stream, but I think Maddie Doyle highlighted it in this piece. And I said, you know, that's something you don't even really think about. Like, yeah, of course he misses the chance, but, you know, that chance doesn't even happen, you know, until mm-hmm. he's there. So obviously I think Portland did sort of make some subs. They went up 2-0. They said, okay, we're going to, you know, sock in and play defensive. And I think that proved to be a pretty big mistake from Phil Neville. I think he allowed DC then to get the ball. Full credit to DC. I think at that time we're like, okay, this is going to be a loss. There's some positives, but overall, you know, pretty disappointing performance that, you know, they weren't able to sort of take advantage of the chances they had and really, you know, show with the finishing touch. But this team showed, I think, an incredible resilience to fight back and to keep pushing, to keep pressing. I think that's something I want to say maybe we saw it last year, but it feels like there's still a general belief, and it's very positive to see the team, you know, to see, you know, really Troy Lesane go out and say, okay, you know, Jackson, Fletcher, you guys are up. Let's see if you guys can bring something to this game. And they were rewarded for it. So, I think that's really I think what a lot of people are taking from this game is just the fight that this team showed and the ability just to wrestle that game back on the road, tough environment. Long road trip to still leave with something and get something out of that game.
So let's talk about what occurred. So the funny, I think I called it in my post-game wrap-up one of the funnier penalties conceded in the last year. There was an opportunity again on the left wing. I think the initial ball was from Santos, flicked onto Antley. Antley flicked the ball onto, I think he was trying to find Dahomey, but all of the Portland players had their hands up calling for offsides, including was it Diego Chara?
I think
that
yeah.
Actually had, yeah. So, unfortunately for them, it was both not offside and a penalty, which was just hilarious after a quick bit of review. Mateus Cluck takes a penalty. Hey, did he take any last year? I think he might have taken one.
Maybe, yeah, he took one. Possible? Yeah, but it's been Benteke to take the penalty, so.
Very, very calmly done. Just, like, very, very cool as you like. Scores a goal, 2-1. And then, it's feeling like, wow, okay, maybe this will turn because I think all the momentum turned right at that moment. It was from there, and then also all the subs that was also when Christian Fletcher came on and Jackson Hopkins came on. So Fletcher came on for Pirani. I've been talking about this a bit of a broken record. It's very early still. I am well aware that someone is bookmarking all of my tweets about Pirani. I think for a reason. I think there's a collector of Pirani takes that he's going to throw on me in 6 months. But another poor performance. I think an even more poor performance than a New England game was not a factor in any sort of way. And the midfield three or four changed, like, just the energy. That was, I think, that the number of chances generated, the dynamism, the different balls coming in from a different way than just crosses, all increased dramatically with those two young players coming in. I think that's noticeable, and something that maybe, you know, this is our first chance to chase a game, and they were able to draw back immediately. So that's, you got to like that, because we talked about that this team is only going to go as far as those young players because they have no experience depth. That's it. So
yeah.
Good news early on.
Yeah, and I think to your point, you know, I look at the I look at where how this team is set up, and I think we've talked a lot about, you know, who's the number 10 in this team, who's the, or Prani, can Prani be the number 10? And I watched that, I watched that play that unfortunately, Tech UDPHR didn't finish, where he, pressures back, wins the ball, and then, does some really nice 1-2 passing, is able to dribble, move, and then has the vision to also see Dahomey right there. He has the vision then to crash the box, to give himself a good opportunity. The ball kind of skips up on him. I think maybe if that's on grass, maybe that settles a little bit better for him and he's able to finish it. I think it kind of pops up a little bit on him. So I'm not gonna fault him too much for the chance. And then also sort of when he sort of plays more centrally, he gets also an excellent opportunity on Crepeau. A cross comes in. I think it was from I can't remember who it was from, but Crepeau comes up and makes a fantastic save. So I think it was really good for me to see him. I didn't think he had a good game against New England, but I think today he was actually really good and deserved a goal. I think he got himself into good spots. But, seeing these types of actions makes me think, like, maybe it's worth it to play him centrally. Maybe he can't be an elite, Hani Mukhtar type number 10, but I think he gives you more as far as on the dribble. He is showing an ability to develop a vision where he can sort of play a pass off, create a chance, who can play that chance. And with Pirani, I think maybe you shift him out wide, maybe more space will give him something. But then also, I think you got it. If Christian Fletcher comes in and starts, coming off the bench and contributing chances and contributing goals, and the team plays better, the question might be asked. He might be sent to the bench. I don't think that's out of the question. I think having a Fletcher, Ted, and Stroud kind of front three could be something that could work. And I think we saw a lot of it in the Portland game. So
I think there's a lot to be said about moving Ted to a 10 role. I think if you remember a million years ago when we interviewed him, he said that's where he prefers to play the most. I think I just looked at his sort of position chart on FootMob. He's played there numerous times. I think that he is a 10. If you also look at where he is, his player traits net out, defensive action, top, in the bottom third, aerial duels won at 60%. He will be a hardworking 10, where Pirani is, I don't really know. I mean, it's too early. I'm gonna go on probation for talking about Pirani being a bust for at least six more games, and then I'll bring it up again. But it would be good if Ted as a 10 as a substitute, or like as a change in sort of formation, and maybe Martin Rodriguez is a guy that you want to bring in that front three as another option, and moving Ted, certainly something to think about. It's good that Ted is still creating his own chances, like you said, regardless of maybe the finishing not being as clinical as you'd like.
Yeah. And I think, maybe you see how that works with like a Benteke. You get him closer to Benteke and he can sort of run off and create those chances. I think he's going to get a goal. I don't know if it's going to come in the next two games, but I think he really stepped it up this game. He played a lot better. I think it might be worth to explore, maybe playing, this team is playing narrow. They're going to play narrow with sort of using those wingbacks. So maybe you try shifting Pirani out left. You give him maybe some more space, and we'll get into a little bit about Cincinnati, about how they're also a team that's playing very narrow with kind of using wingbacks to in a different formation, a 3-4-3, but
and with a new wingback coming this week.
We'll talk about that. But other players I want to highlight. I think Maddie Peltola again.
Do you want to talk about the second goal too?
We can.
And then we can go so second goal, right sort of very soon after that, Jackson Hopkins takes the ball down the right. I didn't notice this while it was live. He did a very good job of looking the defender off to the left, sort of looking to where maybe thinking he was going to pass the ball inside. He sees Herrera running over his shoulder on the overlap, makes a very nice no-look through ball to him. Aaron Herrera crosses the ball across the goal mouth. No one's able to take a touch. Christian Fletcher doing the smart thing that so many players do not do, which is make the back post run when you're non-covered. He was there. The ball fell to him. Converted it. 2-2. Doing the eyeballs to the Timbers Army. just the best. Just the absolute best. And the rest of the way through, I thought, of course, all DC United fans have the sickness, have the wounds of watching this team saying, this team is absolutely going to concede. They're going to lose 3-2. I know it's going to happen. But the cool thing is the team was pushing for that third goal. They did not sit back. They did not want to draw. And the cool thing, even more cool thing about it, is if you've read Steve Goff's piece about the game, he had a bunch of quotes, and they were like, Matty Click was telling us we're gonna take this game after that second goal. Everyone was pushing us to go get more goals. We're all bought in. We believe we can beat anybody. And I'm like, oh my God, who is this team? these quotes, and not in a million years last year, Ted. We were saying that, you know, like we maybe saw a little bit of this last year. Not in a million years would that positivity have come out of that room. It's, you know, camp counselor coach here is doing the job. He's getting people to buy in immediately, and it helps when you have early results to build that. But good Lord, man, this is the good vibe city going on over here. The fact that they are on the road against Portland, a place they do not normally win one time ever, they're like, no, screw it. I don't care. We don't have Benteke. We're going to win this game. We got 15 minutes to score another goal, and they, you know, to their credit, they were pressuring. Portland was relieved, I believe, at the end of that to get out with a draw after the way that game was going.
Disappointed too, I think, from the fans. You know, I think from everybody that they sort of gave up, they coughed away a 2-goal lead. But I mean, again, I think you're right about, you know, good vibe city right now with this team and just how they look. I think, you know, and you know what's really been, I think the most positive thing looking is just how quickly the new pieces have come in and just sort of elevated. We've talked about Aaron Herrera, Matti Petola. I thought he was had another very solid game. I am impressed again how comfortable he looks in this team. Like, he does not look like he's lost, does not look like he's out of place. You know, he knows his role, he knows his duty. He's gonna, you know, make some passes. I thought he did some good. There was, I think, one time I did see him sort of clear the lines very well and sort of start an opportunity. I think it was the back. He sort of plays a nice little ball in the midfield. And I think that sort of vision to sort of see some of those passes, get those passes in and sort of start those attacks is going to be, I think we're going to have a game. We're going to see him do that. And we're going to be like, oh, this guy's good.
He also feels like he's going to get better as I watch him. Cause it does not feel like, I talked about it last week. I saw it less in the Portland game about his internal clock not being fast enough and sort of people closing on him too fast. Wasn't as much of his problem as this game. But it is, as Knauss gets healthy, I think they're going to keep this two man rotation. I think the only time Knauss gets back in is about resting or maybe yellow card accumulation. Yeah. The way this is going, these two are looking really good together.
And that's the thing about Matty. I don't think he's gotten a single yellow card yet. I think he's kept himself clean, you know, through a majority of this game. And you know, his tackles have been, you know, really high class. He's not, you know, he's maybe fouling, but he's not picking up fouls that, you know, would be. And that's something that, you know, at number six, I feel like that's a skill set. And again, it's early, so things might change. But I think it's a skill set almost you need in a number six to kind of toe that line, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be in that sort of tactical foul area. They're going to, you know, maybe be faced with a choice. And it's about, you know, how do you, or maybe you just retire on Mia's Click just to get to the.
I was just going to say, you got Mr. Shithouse over right next to you. You can keep your hands clean.
He'll take the heat off, so to speak. So, but
yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think we talked about the game. So, other players I wanted to sort of quickly talk through. Jared Stroud, not as good as he was in the first game. I think you sort of wonder. Jackson Hopkins, his cameo is probably not enough to unseat him for next game. But keep an eye on that. I think we're likely to see up and down from him. That was the book on him in St. Louis, is there's a reason he has not gotten an extended run in a side. It's because, you know, you're not going to be a game changer week in, week out.
I don't think he was great, but he still had a really nice, the cross he played to,
that was his one chance. That was his big chance.
And that's a difference. I feel like with a lot of players last year, it was like, oh, he didn't have a good game. But I feel like a lot of these guys are like, well, he didn't really have a good, like even Santos. Yeah, he didn't have a good game, but you know, he still is contributing offensively. You know, defensively, he's an absolute liability, but you know, he still contributes. And I think he's going to cost his team some goals, but I think he might also contribute some as well. So it might be a wash with him. And I think that's been the biggest thing is where it was with even a guy having a down game, it's like, well, you know, there's still worse in moments. Pirani might be the only one, but you know, it's good to see that they're still getting some moments in there.
Alex Bono had underperformed his expected saves or expected goals against. So that's something to keep an eye on. You asked in the stream about what do we do about him long term. I think if he continues to underperform his expected goals against, then you really got to start thinking about it. But one kind of average game here. He didn't make the save that he did in the New England game that kept them in it. He just didn't have to. Like that.
I don't know if any of the goals were necessarily his fault, particularly. So
no, the second one was kind of at him and he potentially could have saved it. But other players want to. We already talked about Aaron Herrera. He was our man of the match. He was also team of the week, so we picked a good one there. Fantastic performance. Not much more to say about it. He was everywhere and did everything. Center back pairing, you called out, I think, rightly on that first goal. They could have probably done more, but they, again, same as last week. They are both extremely mobile. They're both very comfortable moving up and making tackles and letting other players backfill and cover for them, which is great. Creates sort of a dynamic back there that tells you, you know, feel free to step up. You're going to get covered. It's not going to be in years past, you'd see a lot of just like that last thing wouldn't happen. Someone wouldn't come back and cover you and you'd have a breakaway situation. We talked about Santos. We know what the deal is there. We continue to not have any other left back, so get comfortable with it. We have Antley, but the problem is Santos is providing so much offensively. You're unlikely to want to turn it over to Antley. You're just gonna be like, listen, this is we're gonna live by the sword and die by the sword here. We're gonna try to score as many goals as possible.
I think your best chance to maybe get a extended look at Antley is gonna come, you know, during a midweek. You know, the team has a midweek game, you know, or a three game week. You know, they got a game on Wednesday. You're not going to play a 35-year-old. We could see maybe a switch. You know, again, Sanders is 35. He's certainly getting up there in age. But I think right now you're going to see them with no Yaz, and we'll maybe discuss that a little bit. But yeah, it's yeah. So I don't think we see that. But yeah, I think you've really highlighted we've highlighted most of everybody. Gutsy performance.
Click. Go ahead. I just want to talk about Click's leadership here. I think he's, again, last year he could have shown it, right? I think that is entirely possible. Early on, there was a conversation about, is he going to be the captain? It turned up not being him, but that the players are already talking about in quotes about the fact that he is an engine and driving them forward. He got an opportunity to get on the score sheet. I like it. I like an engaged Click. I think that that's going to be really important. And it starts to think about, you know, you think about 2025. And I mean, it's good problems to have. I think we were originally at the onset, we're like, hey, we're going to have a full clean slate, get rid of all these DPs. And then the week one, the guy gets a hat trick. Week two, you're like, oh, man of the match-ish performance out of you. That's tough. I don't know what we do here. That's good problems to have.
It is. And I mean, I don't know with a guy like Click. I mean, you know, his contract goes up. Could you figure out a way to renegotiate that? Maybe give him an extra year, but you can maybe push it down to where, you know, maybe he's a TAM level player. Maybe he is, doesn't occupy that massive DP slot. And, you know,
is it easier to do that when there's no transfer fee being played? It's like it's a contract extension. Cause I know when you pay a transfer fee, you have to amortize it over the length of the contract. Do you start fresh with a contract extension?
If they go in and offer him a new contract, the transfer fee goes way down. They have an option year on his contract. So, you know, I don't know how that would work necessarily. I'd have to go look at his salary, how much he's making, where he falls into that. But I mean, it's early. I think we'll see kind of how these guys carry out throughout the rest of the year. And we'll see what this, what the team wants to do. I think there is, you know, I don't want to say for it, but two pretty impressive performances. We've got two tough games coming up. On the road against Cincy and then at home against Inter Miami, obviously. But those are both teams that are both, you know, knee deep in Champions League. So, this is a good time to be playing some good teams that are Champions League, let me tell you. So,
Click is making $1.9 million this
year. Okay. That
would be a challenge. You'd have to get a lot of GAM or whatever
I think that pushes him, unless there's some changes to the roster rules that they've talked about. I think that pushes him outside of the TAM. I think it's like 1.7.
The buy down.
I don't know. Maybe you give him a couple more years and say, hey, we'll pay you 1.7. Maybe you can tack on some.
Yeah. Play to your, he's 33. Run him to 35. I would. Yeah. We'll see. We're like, to your point, it's early. And honestly, everyone's sort of sharing the DC United second in the standings in the East and all the, you know what? Good. Soak this in, guys. We have been in the desert for a while. You know, don't let anyone make fun of you about, like, you know, talking wild crazy about where we're going to end up. This is great. enjoy it. I mean, we're biased because we have to talk about it every week. So we, you know, contrary to popular belief, we are generally optimistic people about this club and would love to see them do well, both from a personal standpoint and a professional standpoint. But enjoy it. Enjoy it while it's here. There's a game coming up that I think I talked about putting money on them for MLS Cup. I said, if they get points in Portland and figure out a way to beat Cincinnati, I will go put $25 on them to win the champion, to win MLS Cup. So your move, DC United.
We'll see what happens. DC United, of course, have Cincy. That's a perfect segue coming up for this game. So I do have some actual, and we're going to try to do better about this. I really want to watch the teams that we're going to play next week. You know, we joke sometimes on the show that we have no idea about these teams. I actually watched them, and I feel like I gained some.
I did too, and I bet on them, and I lost twice on those bets. I had them winning in the first half, and then the stupid Shaqiri penalty in first half injury time screws me out of that one. But that's okay.
Enough betting talk. They played a 3-4-3 in this game. It was very, very much a 3-4-3. Obviously, they have Matt Miazga, Miles Robinson, two excellent center back pairings. And then they have Ian Murphy, who kind of, I saw, play a little bit more of the roaming sort of, you know, third center back role. He's going to push up. And then they're going to sort of kind of rely on Matt Miazga. They also had Kubo and Alves Powell. Kubo is not a wing back type player. He is not a defensive type player. He's very much an attacking type player. And I highlighted that as a potential gap that DC United could exploit heading forward. And that changed. It's the Simpsons joke with the robots where it's like their weakest point now just became their strongest asset.
And only for the low cost of 2/3 of a Miguel Berry too, which is even
jeez,
better.
Man. It's like if you can find a player that you want and you got the game to use it, you might as well go do it. DeAndre Yedlin has been traded from Inter Miami to Cincinnati, so he gets to go from South Beach to.
The memes were so good. Have you seen the memes? Like basically, like Messi had it was the picture of him doing the pregame speech in the huddle. And they're like, Messi had just about enough of this. Like, he could not take hearing him give the pre-match speech. Just couldn't happen. So
that makes this team very good. I think might shift Kubo up. They get a little bit more depth in the attack because Kubo is more of an attack-minded player. What I found interesting is, you know, I've heard a lot of them talk about how they play a press. First half of this game against Chicago, they were very much not pressing. They were kind of sitting back. I think they were trying to, you know, I think in a sense, maybe they were trying to let Chicago beat themselves. I think also they're trying to save legs. They don't want to push the game too hard. So that for me would be something to watch in their game. Are they going to pull the same thing? Are they going to try to sort of sit back, let DC kind of tire themselves out by pressing? And I think it'll be up to DC, you know, start finishing your chances, because I think that first half might be the best opportunity. I thought Chicago had a little bit of the better of the play in the first half. And then Chichos, their very much expensive center back from Germany, I believe, makes a really bad pass to Bepenzia, who, by the way, I did not leave this game impressed. He's a very nice finish, very nice goal, but he's basically gifted a chance. They also have Corey Baird, I think that from Houston, they're playing up top. Now, I don't know what their lineup's going to look like. You know, they got Champions League. Will Acosta be there? You know, it's impossible to say. But
there's no way Lucho will play. You could chop Lucho's legs off. The revenge game will always power this man.
That might
no
be
way.
True. And let me just tell you, this team is still good. Lucho Acosta is still a very, very good player. There was a particular moment where I think they got in the box and it was just this very nice little 1-2 passing and just really nice work. Second half, especially, they turned up the pressure. They really took it to, they really took it to Chicago. Also, dangerous on set pieces. They had a couple moments. They really were able to get the ball into dangerous spots. You've got, you know, Miles Robinson, Matt Miazga. You know, they are big, tall center backs. They're going to crash. You know, Miles Robinson gets the game-winning goal in this sense. But this is still an excellent team, a very, very, very good team. DC will certainly not go into favorites. I'm not confident this team is going to go in and win. I think I'm going maybe towards the loss. We'll get into our predictions a little bit later. Anything else you want to add from that game? Or sorry, did I kind of steal your thunder? I just took notes.
No, it's fine. No, that's fine. I'm glad I watched the first half, so I didn't see the second half. So
I watched about 74 minutes of it. But yeah, so it's they're a good team. I think this is going to be a tough game for DC. They somehow always seem to play well against Cincy. So. Who knows? I'm going to 2-1 loss. I'm a little more positive than my 3-1 loss I had against Portland. 2-1 loss. I think a game winning goal from Acosta. I think he he ends up burying us in this game. I think we still see some positives. I think the first half, I think they actually might go up. They might actually find a way to get a goal. I think my 2-1 prediction, whether they get a goal, also might depend on whether Benteke's status is. We'll have an update for you on our Patreon show on Thursday. Obviously, the media availability will probably be the first question that is asked.
Also, we'll also have a show on Friday. Ted doesn't even know this. We'll have a show. The Patreon show on Friday will also have FC Cincinnati beat reporter who will give us a little bit of behind the scenes camp stuff. So the lines right now have them at +300 to win and Cincinnati at -130. So to your point, 3-1 favorites, basically. I think that's prediction. You said 2-1. You said 2-1 loss or 3-1 loss. And I also too, Benteke is a pivotal. No Benteke. I agree with you. 2-1 with Benteke. I think 2-2.
You get a draw.
I think that this
positive.
I do. I'm too, buddy. I am high on my own supply. I am because I did not think we could in Portland. I didn't think we could. Cincinnati obviously is a way better team than Portland, and New England Revolutions appear to be a bit of a sham so far this season, other than one game in midweek at a Champions League. By the way, I always told you I love the Champions League. I never expected to love them because they would sap our opponents of energy the week before we played them. But another reason to love CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
Cup. I'm calling it league forever.
Yeah, I think everybody is.
It's like when people used to call I still call it the Verizon Center in DC. That's just not gonna change it. Sorry to the recent corporate sponsor. But yeah, no, I'm positive. I'm thinking a draw. If Benteke plays a draw.
All right. Well, and to his credit, I mean, it seems like it was precautionary. It was. He felt something, and it's like, let's not.
In his groin.
Let's not risk it on turf. So I think that's going
to
be.
I think they give him one more week. I think to your point, I think they're maybe a little bit more pessimistic about their opportunities against Cincinnati, and maybe give him one more week of recovery and training to be ready for the game against Inter Miami. Yes. Is next at home, right? That's the next game. I think they're going to want to make sure he's fit.
Mohamed Diaz, the saga continues. AIK was maybe interested, and then they were like, no, we're no longer interested. I
wouldn't be either.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I don't know what the situation allows. He's still got 2 more years left on that contract.
Buyout. See you later.
I think we might see an exercise of buyout. And Richard Rolson, I think, has a good question. From what you've seen to play, could Christopher Vey slide into that left back spot? Maybe, but I think you're right now. You can't. I don't think you can do it because then you're basically either putting. By the way, Hayden Sargis, I completely miss this. He's off to Las Vegas. He's been loaned out to Las Vegas. I think that might be the last we see of him. So. Buen voyage, Mr. Hayden Sargis. But I think to that credit, I don't think he can do it now until, you can't even consider it, I think, until Birnbaum's healthy. Because otherwise, then you're playing Matei Akambone in that spot. And I think that could potentially be bad. I also think you would lose a lot of sort of what you even, we talked about with Santos, defensive pressure and everything like that.
Matei also needs to get minutes, by the way. I think that Roche talked about it today. You got to send him to Loudon because if you got all these center backs that are balling, if he's your fourth, you got to get him minutes somewhere. He's too young to sit and rot. So hopefully Troy had talked about being up more aggressive about utilizing Loudon for those loans. At the same time, Loudon is trying to break out and develop its own identity. So it'll be very interesting to see what their interest is. By the way, Loud United, make sure you're listening to Next in Line. There's lots of stuff going on in Loudon. They hired their first director of soccer. Mm-hmm. I forget his name already, but he was previously like the technical director for the Canadian League, and he's been in a bunch of other different places. But that's the first time Ryan Martin's had someone over him in his time allowed, and that wasn't Stuart Mayers. So I don't want to say hot seat, but there's certainly – I think expectations are changing at Loudon, and the expectations of the league are changing too. They're now sort of all sort of still seen as long shots to make the playoffs, but much more improved and maybe mid-table at best. So – exciting. Make sure you're following Next in Line so you get all of your Loudon information, because that is beyond our ken. That's why we have Next in Line in the stable, because they know it. And they had an interview with said director of soccer, whose name I should know. But
yeah, go listen to it. We'll also root for them in the Open Cup, because MLS DC United is not in the Open Cup this year. The 8 teams have been announced. I'm not going to read them all off. Houston's in there. They get to defend their title. A lot of the
Not us. That's all we care about. No DC. That's
the. It was basically the. It was the teams sort of below. It was in. They sort of went to the Supporters Shield standings, took out the teams that played in Champions League. Those teams will. I think some of them will be represented. I haven't really looked at this. I'm so upset about it. I'm so angry about it. The only thing I really want to say about this is yes, this stinks. This stinks for a number of things. I do not think actually. I think the biggest thing we've learned though over these last few weeks is. You know, the people that are driving this, I think this is coming from atop. I think there's been some dissent amongst some of the owners are like, hey, we don't like this. We're going to go along with it. And for now, because, this is what you've decided. I think we've seen from director of soccer operations, all the GMs, they have bonuses. They have bonuses attached to probably winning trophies. And this is sort of taking away a potential trophy. And also, I think even if you sat down with Jason Levy and said, do you like this? Here's an opportunity for him to win a trophy and to bring some silverware and maybe show that there really is a momentum and it's being lost here. I truly believe this is being driven by Apple. We know what Apple's like. We know they like control. I think they went to MLS and said, this Open Cup thing, you got to figure out a way to get us out of it. This is something we don't control. This is not something that we have the rights to. So we do not want you sacrificing your players in these games that we don't have the rights to. And, it's also Messi driven too.
Who has the Bleacher Report has the rights, right? TNT.
It's actually HBO. CBS. When Messi was announced, they negotiated and they grabbed all the Open Cup rights, I believe. So I think they've got.
For how long?
I think it's for just this year. So,
so here's the chance. I think you're right, Ted. I think that Apple is like, we do not want to have Messi get injured against, name the team here, and then miss the League's Cup game against Tigres or Chivas. So, Apple should spend the $9 that it would take to win the Open Cup rights, so that at least because that then it's just more inventory for them. Then they don't care. It's just more games on television.
I don't know. I think a lot of it's driven by. I think it'll be curious to see once Messi goes away. I think U.S. Soccer really wants to try to just hold on to it. And a lot of people are saying, well, they should have taken away their first division status. That was never going to happen.
Not going to happen.
There's a lot of legal reasons why it wouldn't happen. MLS would almost undoubtedly sue at that point. If you guys are aware, the Super League, the court case out of Europe, and I think that's what's kind of emboldened this, is the court case in Europe basically said. Told UEFA, you can't prevent the Super League. You can't prevent it from forming. Now, will it form? I think there's too many forces going on that it'll ever happen at this point. But the same thing would apply here. The court would probably look at it and say, sorry, you can't forcibly comply leagues to compete in your tournament. I think this is not going to be the end of this. We'll see how it looks. We'll see how it looks next year. I think we could have another fight over this. I think there could be some more discussions. I think there's going to be some anger from a lot of USL teams, and I think maybe we'll see if that might shift some things going forward.
I got the plan to save it, Ted.
What's that?
We need to find $20 million and just make that the purse. That's all it is. It's money. If you were to wave a big enough dollar sign in front of them, because it can only be one League's Cup winner, and most of these MLS teams are not going to get out of their groups, or a lot of them won't. So, opportunity to win trophies plus money equals I want to be in this tournament. Shut up, Don Garber. We're going to do this. So that's all we need. We need a very deep pocketed like Monopoly man that loves the Open Cup for some reason to just like throw a big wad of cash on U.S. soccer.
So do this. Hey, everybody. So go to patreon.com/RQRefugees.
That's right. This is how we're going to do it. We will be the funnel through which we throw money at the Open
Cup. We'll give you like, if you give us the most money, we'll give you like the Open Cup, Open Cup Savior badge or something.
Yeah.
Let's get to some listener questions, I think, related to DC. Tony D on Twitter says, a lot of recent media spotlight on Yaz, but Martin Rodriguez hasn't seen the field yet either, but at least on the bench. With a Sal international slot, you think he's not part of the team's plan or being shopped as well? Potentially. He may be, that's certainly going to be something to watch, whether he gets any type of appearances out there, whether, he is just there or the team, the team seems to be willing, certainly Troy seems to be prioritizing, guys like Jackson Hopkins and guys like Christian Fletcher, and honestly, all for it, 100%.
We asked for that.
So I don't know how he feels about that. I think he's a guy, I know he has already had interest from Colo Colo down in Chile. I could envision a situation we get to the summer window and He's like, look, I'm not going to make the field. I tried to make this work. I've maximized the most of my contract here. Colo-Colo's coming in. They were going to offer me, you know, this much. Let's just, you know, they don't want to pay a transfer fee for me though. So, you know, let's just agree to part ways. I'll go down there. And you know, thanks. Have a nice day. I think he's a guy you could, he does have some interest from what I got, from what I've gathered from his old club in Chile. So
I think he's got to get the field first. I think he's got to prove that he can still play. So that's the little catch 22 about it. It's early. There's going to be a lot more games.
Again, some of those, you know, 3 week, you know, Saturday, Wednesday games, I think you're going to start seeing some of these boys. And also where DC's depth is going to start to look very, very thin. How much better would 6 from 6 make you feel, or is 4 essentially the same feeling? Season is early, new team is finding rhythm. I'm not really sure what he means by six.
Points available. 6 points versus 4 points through two.
I mean, obviously, 2 points. I mean, home game, road game, win, draw. You're great. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, I would not be any more. I'm fine. I would feel 99% of how I would feel if. The 100% for 6 points. It's like, it's right there. No discernible difference for me as far as my joy.
Bear Witness says the XG in the first 2 weeks is amazing, but does it mean much if we can't score? Besides Benteke, where do you see the goals coming from this year? I mean, honestly, you have to talk about Teku DiPietro. I think that's where you got to look for that secondary scoring to start. I don't think you're going to get, you know, Jared Stroud possibly too, or Pirani.
And if it's not Ted, then in the summer, you know what you need. If you're still creating that many opportunities and Benteke is either not as prolific as he was in game one against New England, or he's injured for some reason, you gotta figure that out. You gotta figure that out quickly. If it's not Ted, it's gotta be somebody else.
And I think Brendan Cartwright, Mr. DC historical stat.
Love this stat.
What are the odds Benteke scoring 5 goals in the next 9 games to equal Rooney's goals scored and games played marks for DC? I mean, I would say it's certainly.
I hope it happens.
I think it's possible. I think if he takes the field on Saturday, I think he finds a way to get a goal. You look at the game against Miami. I think they are going. Miami put on an impressive performance. They're going to potentially run out of gas. I think I think DC has a chance to maybe pull a shock result from them. We'll see. They got League's Cup. Or not League's Cup, Champions Cup. So we'll see.
I wish we could have played them in August.
Yeah. That would have been better. Actually, I'm perfectly fine with playing them right now. I am.
Yeah.
Because they've got Champions Cup coming up. I think they – I will be curious to see who they throw out against on Wednesday against in – I think – I forget who they play. On their Champions Cup game, and then they're going to have Saturday game. Who? What that lineup is going to look like, and what their depth is going to look like. I don't know how you can play a 35 year old Messi and a 37 year old Luis Suarez. They looked good against Orlando, but I think Orlando also played pretty poorly. So we'll see.
So we have 2 seconds. Let's look at what their matches look like. So they play Nashville in the Champions Cup.
Oh, Nashville. Okay.
Thursday. Then they play. Montreal, is that home or away? That is home. They play Montreal. Then they play Nashville again in the Champions Cup, which is two-legged, I guess. And then, between our game, we have one game in between, right? We just play Cincinnati, and then they play 3 games in between that time.
I'm telling you.
Okay, Ted, you're right. You're right, Ted. You're absolutely right.
That might be the game I give my first win prediction, because I think – you know, I think if this team, barring any sort of significant injury for DC, I think they could potentially come into this game. I think potentially also at home, this game will be at home in DC. I think Inter Miami could look at this as, you know, we've got a lot of games. We need to rest some guys. Otherwise, we're not going to make it to the end of the year. Presumably, I mean, Nashville look okay. They don't look great. I think this team has talked about prioritizing, prioritizing winning the Champions Cup and going after it. And so I think they're going to do it. So
I think you're right, Ted. You should publicize this prediction. I think this is one you're going to want to clip.
I might look at the betting lines and see what it's like. All right. That's going to do it for DC. We got a little bit of some nuggets, some little poquito. Small nuggets for the Washington Spirit. Adrian Gonzalez had his first meeting to the press. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it or take it in. He had some interesting things to say. I think he talked a lot about sort of why he, you know, why is he coming from, you know, a head coaching role in Espanol to the Spirit. And I think he's talked a lot about the vision and how he, you know, the vision that the team has and, you know, kind of wanting to be a part of it. So I think that's something that's been impressive. I think he's talked a lot about how the team is really sort of bought in. You know, he wants to see how they're going to do against competition. I think that's when they'll really get their judge. But it seems like everybody's really engaged and really wants to get going. So he praised that a lot coming into this week. Obviously, Trinity Rodman's not here. Trinity Rodman over at the Gold Cup performing pretty well. I don't know. You watched that game against Colombia?
I saw all the gifts. That's what I saw.
I watched a little bit of the game. It was certainly a Colombia side that was playing physical. They wanted to certainly go at to go at and try to get in the heads of the U.S. And I think that kind of fueled things a little bit for them. I think the U.S.'s biggest problem right now, I feel like there is maybe – like you talk about the game against Mexico too. There's almost like – I feel like in some cases like there needs to be somebody in there that can sort of motivate them, that can kind of get them going. And I think Colombia kind of provide. I think Colombia was trying to get in their heads, and I think it kind of backfired because it gave them, "Oh, you want to play like this? All right, now you know we're really thinking about Paris right now. We're going to smack you and put you down." So
there was despite them being in South America, they were CONCACAFing it up, and I think the United States is not used to teams playing that way against them. I think there's always a lot of deference for them because they can run over most teams. So they don't get the shit housing like this, and you could tell they did not like it. A lot of the things I saw was like it didn't bother these teams. I was like, it didn't bother these players. Like, yeah, it did. They were really Trinity, mad. They were Trinity, extremely Trinity annoyed. Was Trinity annoyed. Was
yes.
Alex Morgan was. Lindsey Graham was annoyed. I mean, they won. They did what they had to do. But I think it'll be interesting to see if other teams that are outclassed on a talent basis try to do that again and see if it's, I mean, granted it didn't work out. They got spanked, but it was, I mean, they maybe made a bigger impact than they would have otherwise if they just like, you know, played it straight and just tried to hold on for, you know,
we'll see. Line. I think this game was, I think it wasn't perfect, but it was certainly the most impressive U.S. performance I think we've seen in a while it's a good team. Colombia are a good team. They're a team that makes the World Cup. They're competitive. So I think this was good to see. This was kind of after the Mexico game, which again, Mexico played really well. They are on the women's side, they are a soccer power to rise. Liga MX is spending a lot of money developing, and it's been slow goes, and it's kind of been, they remind me a lot of sort of the early U.S. men's side where it's like they're trying to figure out how to do this. They're starting to scout America better down in Mexico. I believe one of the players who's like their best player was in the American system and was just deemed not good enough. So they are sort of, you know, going after those Mexican Americans and bringing them in. I think Mexico is going to be, I think they are going to eclipse Canada at a certain point because the Canadian Federation just can't get out of their own way. In a lot of ways, and I think they are going to be. I think we're going to see kind of the yo-yoing between, you know, U.S. Mexico domination potentially in CONCACAF, where it's just going to be swinging, and that's good. I think it's good for the game. It's, you know, it's and I a lot of people were kind of calling, I think, after the Mexico game, and I think also with, you know, U.S. women are never going to win the World Cup because we, you know, how our system is, and I'm like, we're still going to be good. I think it's still going to happen. So fun tournament to watch. I haven't really, honestly, the games have been on at like 10 p.m., which hasn't been fun. But I think we're going to get some better times coming up. So
I encourage you to go to our Instagram page or our Twitter page and look at the clips I've had from Paige Mateer's interview, a media availability last week. She was funny. And Lena Solana also. So check them out. We're getting more and more player access during the week, which, you know, they're down right now training still in Florida. I think first kick is like in 2 weeks or 10 days.
It's coming up.
So it's getting close. Still sort of, it's weird when, you know, we talk about this all the time. When you don't show preseason games, and in NWSL anyway, predictions are notoriously unreliable and wrong all the time. We're still going to make them because that's what we do on this show. But when you don't show any preseason games either, it's a weird dynamic going into a season where you're like, I have no idea, no clue, absolutely not, particularly with a new coach. Who's not even here yet.
And an interim coach who's still here. New kits, by the way. What are your give me some of your thoughts on I'm curious your thoughts on the new kits.
I think the black one's okay. I think it's all right. It's the yellow one is just not for me at all. It's fine.
I saw the yellow one initially on the FIFA leaks that happened, and I was like, oh, this looks so bad. When it was fully rendered, when it was on a kit, I was like, okay, it's not tragic. I was like, it's not as bad as like I thought with like the low res type of picture. So,
are you talking about the spirit ones or the spirit ones?
Okay, yeah, the spirit. Like, there was a leak for the spirit.
By the way,
was a leak for the spirit kit.
Good, because I am now fully on board with the DC United kit. I've now seen it in action.
That was kind of similar. I mean, I thought it was okay on the FIFA graphic, and you know, once it was blown up, I was like, okay, it looks good. This one was one I was like, oh, this looks terrible. The black and yellow, man. We've confirmed now. It's like it's a Michelle King type thing. Like she likes yellow as a color.
Cool. buy another club and make it their
London
color.
City Lionesses. Do that with them. Like, I do think it's like, you know, again, here's what I'll say. You know, DC United comes out, you know, in black and red. Black and red was not a traditional like DC, you know, usually red, white, and blue type colors, you know, or that's been sort of the moniker that's been adopted, you know, and they went with a, you know, a black and red color scheme, which you would think maybe wouldn't quite work, you know, for the DC market. And they turned it into their own, where now that's like their little identity. I think the problem is, of course, black and yellow is most associated with teams in Pittsburgh. All the teams in Pittsburgh have that color. Could be the problem. I don't know. It's wait and see on that. It is a different sport. It is a different sports. It's, you know, women's sports versus men's sports. Maybe they can make it work. Maybe if they win in it, everybody's going to say it's the greatest thing and it's their identity. So
I can promise you right now, Ted, I will be dead and buried before you see a highlighter yellow kit anywhere near my body. It's an offense to anyone looking at me. I'm sure I would look horrible in it. So the only good thing you can think about is that they have promised that they're in the middle of the rebrand hasn't happened yet. It's still to come. I'm hoping that they see the merch numbers on this yellow thing and they're like, all right, Michelle, I know you love it. I know you love yellow. That's very cool. You're rich. You can do what you want. But there were four of these jerseys bought all year. Unfortunately for you, everyone hates it, thinks it's bad. We are going to rebrand next year. I think they might even look at the name. I think it could be a studs down, like complete gutted rebrand, depending on how the season goes. they underperform. They're like, all right, that's it. Everything's gone.
We'll see. I do think it's good. I would like to see this team sort of get a refresh from the era, from the old ownership era. Maybe build something new and build something different. I don't think I was too attached 100% to the idea of the name of the spirit. So
I just want something that has good SEO and a good hashtag. That's really what I'm concerned about.
Podcaster thoughts. All right, folks, that's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, patreon.com/arcurefugees. We have gotten so many people that have come in and joined the show. You know, it motivates us to continue to do the content. We're going to have a preview piece out. We're going to have more Patreon-related specific stuff out. So, you know, again, drop us, tell us what you guys like. Tell us what you guys want. We're trying to up the content game this year.
The people love the written word, Ted. That's what I'm discovering, which is hilarious in this universe of you guys should do more video and stuff. So thanks for all those people who joined Patreon. Also, want to encourage people to rate and review the show on iTunes. I posted a couple of them today. And even though you guys are wrong about green sauce, I still encourage you to post more of them. As long as they're 5 stars, you can say whatever you want about me or my green sauce.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. We will catch you guys later in the week on Patreon, and we'll be back on Monday. Vamos.
Vamos.
Thank you for listening to RFK Refugees Podcast. Make sure you rate and review the show wherever you download podcasts. If you want to support the show, consider joining our Patreon or subscribing to our channel on Twitch. Lastly, make sure you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, Twitch, Goals.tv, Friendster, MySpace, and Tumblr. Some of those are even real. Vamos.